Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Glory to God. Well, I want to continue 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a section about an axe head falling into the water and being recovered. And on Wednesday night, I kind of gave a little quick beginning overview of verses 1 and 2. We talked about fathers and sons. I think that is vitally important. If we know anything about fathers and sons, they must... You have to come to this realization. If we go all the way back to the beginning, when Jesus said that Elijah shall come, and he's come already, but he's to come to do what? Restore what? All things, right? Isn't that what he said? And if we go to the book of Malachi, at the very last chapter, at the end, what does it say? He'll restore the what? Hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the sons to the fathers. And the reason is because the whole thing is about fatherhood and sonship. We may or may not like that, but like I said, he's instituting his own system. He has instituted it. And he will bring it to fullness, flourishing, fruit, people who will be willing to express it in every area of their life. Amen? But father and sons. And the thing we must understand about sons cannot decide to do whatever they want. Just can't. That's what Absalom did, you know. But Solomon did not. All right, in the context of following the father, all right? And we'll touch on that more a little later. We also talked about the way out of pressure is to what? To go to Jordan. They wanted to build a new house, you know. And so the real way out of pressure is to what? Die to self. It's to die to self. Lose your own life. He who loses his life shall find it. But if we decide we want to hang on to it, we will lose it. Now, just to let us in on this, there's no hybrid life. Can't have a little God and a little of mammon. I'll use mammon. We understand that, right? Yeah, lukewarmness. That's a good... No in between. In God, in this context, there is no gray matter. Right? I'll just say it like this. Something we'll all really... You're either pregnant or you're not. Pregnant with his purpose, or you're not. Right? Well, I think I am. No. The doctor, the physician, the great one, he can determine if you are or if you're not. He knows for sure. Amen. So the only way out of pressure is to die to self. The cool thing about the new system, the New Testament, the first thing you have to do is what? Pick up your cross and follow him. That's the first thing. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what's the first thing the kingdom of God does? It's a death to self, right? And the first death is being born again. The second death is water and spirit. I like this thought. Watch this. If we all could understand this, I'm talking about the church world in general. Salvation, everybody say it with me. Salvation is progressive. You start somewhere, you finish somewhere. It's not how you start the race, though, that matters. It's how you finish the race, right? He who endures to the end of the race, those are my words. He who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. That verse alone shows us that it's progressive, right? It starts somewhere and ends somewhere. All right. So we talked about that, and then I talked a little bit, and this is where I want to spend maybe the bulk of the morning. I know I let a lot of things out on Wednesday, but that's all right. We'll take a better look at it. So we begin to talk about every man a beam, and I told you how the beams, right, like when I just went to the plantation tour, the beams were set in place, you know, according to their set number and all that. So if you turn with me this morning, we're going to talk about beams. I told you what the beam was, right? Let me see if I have something written down here. Beam, yeah, I think we did. A beam was a rafter or a pole, right? A log. A house beam, the Amplified calls it. And so this beam, and this is really why I wanted to take a little time and go into further study, a little more detail, is you may or may not ever teach this, but it will give you an idea of what, it will give you a clearer vision of what God's purpose is and what His idea is and always has been. See, the cool thing is, God does things in cycles, doesn't He? So He keeps telling the same story many different ways. And so we get to view it many different ways. But the pattern is always the same. And it's going to end up right here. Watch this. Are you with me? God wants, right, a family for Himself. A bride or a body for His Son. And watch this. A temple for His Spirit. A habitation where God can dwell. Why is that? Because God does not live in temples made with hands. Wait, I'm the temple of God. Amen to that. But God didn't make you with hands. You know, I know we teach this traditionally, and I don't have a problem with it, that God reached down and He scooped up some dirt. But how do you know He didn't just talk to the dirt? It doesn't say that He scooped it. Because the best I can tell is God just spoke and things happened. And in a way, I kind of like to think that He didn't scoop it because we weren't made with hands. We were made with a word. I don't know, that's kind of cool to me, but, you know, hey, it's not a point of argument. It just gives us some reality, how God functions and how He lives. And He doesn't need a hand in that aspect, does He? I mean, seriously, we as Pentecostal people, you know, kind of the laying on of hands. Jeez, Jesus told many people to go do something and wasn't even there, and they were healed. We try to trick a formula, an abracadabra, hocus pocus, just like Gehazi, and nothing happens. Nothing wrong with even the strategy. But it's knowing His heart, not supposing what His will is, but really knowing His heart. Not presuming a thing, but chasing His heart. Amen. So a beam. So we want to look at some parallels of the truths, paralleling truth, okay, that go along with the beams. And I kind of got a little distracted, but the cool thing is He is trying to get you and I to understand. He's after a people just like him. How many like this? That God has a passion for you? Yeah. Well, guess what? To be like him, we have to have a passion for him and one another. Amen. So turn with me this morning. We're going to be in here because I want to look at this parallel truth concerning the boards. I mentioned it, the boards of Moses' tabernacle. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 26. Exodus 26. My sister. I'm a word guy, so I absolutely love pictures, word pictures in the Old Testament. I have various emotions or thoughts. You know, it saddens me that people eliminate the Old Testament, but it makes me laugh too at the same time, you know. I laugh because they think they know everything, and it's sad because they miss so much of what God really wants to tell us. And I started to say this, God keeps saying it, it's cycles. God works in cycles. He wants us to get it. This is why Paul wrote this. It's not grievous for me to tell you again. And the reason it's not is because I really want you to get it. Pastor, you're really boring me with all the same old boring stuff. I'll keep boring you. One of two things are going to happen. You're either just going to get it, hallelujah, or you're just going to, do your thing. Amen. Okay, Exodus 26, are you there? We'll start with verse 15. And I don't, you know something? I'm going to change up. You know what? You're going to have to just listen to me. I'm going to read it in the Living Bible. How's that? I'm going to make it a little modern for us. Is that all right? So unless you have the Living Bible, now you could go to your phones and use a little data if you want. Some of you could hijack my hotspot I have on. But if you want to follow along, the Living Bible is a little more updated English. I like the King James because it gives me some poetic. And I think the cool thing about the King James is in that poetic, you can actually, the numbers, because they will change when they translate them to English. So like if I say 20 cubits, we know each cubit is what, 18 inches or a foot and a half approximately. Well, that changes the number system if we translate it into English, or not English, but modern English, right? Opposed to old King James English. But I think because we have enough understanding and knowledge, we know how to go back and forth, it shouldn't really affect us, okay? I can remember when I was a kid, oh no, they're coming out with new translations and it messes up all the numbering system. Yeah, okay, just translate it back. You're reading it in English. It used to be Hebrew and Greek. I'm just saying. And apparently Selah's listening to me, right? Because she's, and the root word means, I hear her walking around her house saying these things. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Verse 15. The framework of the sacred tent shall be made from acacia wood. Now that's important. I think the King James might say cedar, right? But why is that important, acacia wood? Acacia wood, shittim wood, cedar. It's a picture of incorruptible and immortal. And the reason that's important, hallelujah, did you just... See, I just had a little tickle. See, the whole point is he's picturing the temple here, and he has a desire for the temple to watch be pure and holy. And pure and holy at the far end is incorruptible and immortal. This is what God has desired. Watch, he's white and ruddy already, right? This is what he wants for his body. Why wouldn't he? If the head's that way, why not the body, right? Here we go. So acacia wood, it's important. Each frame piece being 15 feet high and 2.25 feet wide. All right, about 27 inches wide, right? Here we go. Standing upright. So you got this now? A board, 15 feet high, about 27 inches wide, right? One board. Now watch this. With grooves on each side to mortise into the next upright piece. So these boards were joined together. Now, it doesn't say tongue and groove, but it could be tongue and groove, but I have a tendency to think it was probably more shiplap, right? It has a groove down one side, a groove down the other, and they overlay or they connect, don't they? But when they connect, watch this. The cool thing about shiplap, if the boards are correct, right? And I know most of it's old, but the point is, it was framing wood. The point is, one won't stick out any farther than the other. It'll be even across the front. Is that not true? I mean, if every piece was milled perfectly exactly the same, one wouldn't stick out more than the other, would it? Isn't that what God's after? Because he's more interested, watch, we're picturing a fence here or a wall, right? Isn't his point, the important thing isn't the individual pieces of drywall right here. The important thing is it created a wall. The important thing that God is creating, what, isn't individuals. The church needs to get over themselves and come to this understanding that God's building a temple of people. Stones, living stones. Are you with me? Are you? Do you see the picture? I don't want you to lose track. I know we're going way, you know, we're going down some, you know, we're opening up different doors, but we're walking down the same hallway. Here we go. Are you listening to me? Every man a beam. Every man a board. Because we're building a house, a stone, right? I told you this the other day. It reminded me, the plantation reminded me of Solomon's temple. No, every stone had to fit in its proper place, and it was all done in the quarry or the field. Hello, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're being shaped in the quarry. Newsflash. The world as we know it is not the destination for believers. It's not. It's just a field. Newsflash. It isn't somewhere over there either. Where is it? It's in God. Where's that? Everywhere. Are you with me? Okay. See, okay, here we go. Now, this is important here, okay? So you got the picture? A board, right? One board, okay? What it looks like. You know what one board looks like. Hey, we all look alike to God because he ponders the heart. And he doesn't look at the gender, the skin color, how much money you have or don't have, neither male nor female. Rich or poor, Jew or Greek, right? He settled all the... Isn't that interesting? Those are the three main issues we still have in society. And the reason is it's the anti-type. God already took care of it in Christ. If you're still fighting the gender issue, get saved. If you're still fighting the race issue, get saved. And if you're still fighting the money issue or the class issue, get saved. It will change you. It will deliver you. The biggest thing we can do is not get caught up into it. All right, here we go. Now, we know what a board is, right? 20 of these frames will form the south side of the tent, sacred tent, and 40 silver bases for the frames to fit into. Two bases under every piece of the frame. So, if you have a board, it has two bases to sit in. Why do you think it has two? And why do you think it's silver? See, we read these things and, that's cool. No, listen, silver speaks of redemption. And two speaks of watch at the base, our feet. Our walk has to be in the redemptive realm. Are you with me? Fiddly framed together. So there's 20 boards on one side, 40 feet. Come on. We're building an army here. See, we haven't, you know, see, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Am I making any sense to you? Here we go. So we have 20, right? And then on the south side, now we have on the north side, there will also be 20 of these frames with their 40 bases, two bases on each frame, one under each edge. So, you know, it's like the feet, okay? The corner frames will be connected at the bottom and top with clasps. So in all, there will be 8 frames on that end of the building with 16 silver bases for frames, 2 bases under each frame. How many boards? How many? On one side. How many total boards? No? 20? 20 and 8. 48. Right? 6 times 8 is 48. 6 being the number of man and 8 being the number for new beginning. This is a new man. It's a picture of the new man. Oh, by the way, what was inside of this? You know, I'm not going to spend any time here because I only am interested in the boards, okay? But what's inside? You have the ark and you have the middle court and the most holy place, right? Is that not the case? What's inside the man of, or the woman of God, if you're gender-minded? It's inside. See, the whole picture of Moses' church, oh, that old boring stuff, is a picture of his people. It's a picture of his temple. Are you all right? Now watch. He's not done. It's pretty cool. And make bars of acacia wood. All right. So the bars, I think, you know, I struggle sometimes. I think of the word bar and I immediately think of metal, right? But bar is, in this context, the bar is made of wood, okay? To run across the frames, 5 bars on each side. So are you getting the picture? You have 5 bars, right? 5 bars, right? You with me? Top to bottom, 5 bars, right? Make the bars run across. 5 bars on each side of the tabernacle. Also 5 bars for the rear of the building, so in the back, facing westward. Now look at this. He points this out. The middle bar, halfway up the frames, runs all the way from end to end of the tabernacle. Now, you know, it's like, okay, what does that mean? If I think of middle, I think of center. And if I think of center, everything centers around Christ. And if I think that this bar runs from end to end, I think of from the beginning to the end, the Alpha, the Omega. In other words, what ties this whole thing together, and there's 5, which is cool, is the number of grace, right? God's grace, centered in Christ, holds this whole building together for his purpose to house. Are you with me? Look, don't forget, why are we looking at this? Every man his beam, right? Every man his beam. His beam. Every man has a place. Every person has a place, doesn't he? And watch this. He's not done. Overlay the frames with gold and make gold rings to hold the bars. There's no end to this, is there? It's circular. In other words, it starts with God. It ends with God. Overlay the frames of gold and make gold rings to hold the bars, and also overlay the bars with gold. Set up this tabernacle. Watch this. This is the cool part. This tent in the manner I showed you in the mountain. Moses was shown what this thing looked like. And the cool thing is, he said, look, if you go down and build it after the pattern that I showed you, I will do what? I'll live in it. And all God's trying to get you and I to understand is, look, he showed Jesus a pattern. And Jesus came and fulfilled that as a person, but he did it because he was the sacrifice for the pattern. Are you with me? For the whole temple. How cool is that? Now, I'm not going to spend any time. I would have, but I won't. We could go to Solomon's temple. The same exact thing. Everything was overlaid with gold. Everything. And the reason is, why gold? Gold, are you with me? Purity, valuable. Pure gold. It speaks of the divineness, the sweetness of who God is. Because gold's valuable, right? It's the nature of God. So do you see here that the paralleling truth of every man a being is found in Moses' tabernacle? It's found in Solomon's temple. The picture, the pattern, has to be this for a people. Every generation connected. What keeps us connected to every generation? There's a lot of good men and women that have gone on. I think Paul wrote it this way. Some sleep in Jesus, don't they? The Spirit. Corey said it. He's the wooden bar. The center, middle one. From one end to the other. Are you with me? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't thrill you, but I think it's pretty cool. That, you know, I read the Bible and it bored me to death, so I didn't read it again. No, read the Bible and find out what he's really trying to tell you and I. This doesn't excite me. It should. It's not a shooting star in the sense that it's not going to burn out. This keeps on going. Are you with me? All right. So with that said, now, turn with me. Let's see, where do we want to go? Now I'm going to bring it over for you. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. So, what was the point of us reading Moses' tabernacle there about the boards? The point was what? Eight times six is one new man. And this is how you describe him. This is how you look at him. The one new man. The very man that will house the life of God. How cool is that? This is his purpose. If this doesn't get you, I don't know. If it doesn't get you excited, nothing will. All right. Ephesians, are you there? I'll read 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. When all them boards were tied together, it was no longer an individual. It was what? One, right? One, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, here it is, one new man, even so making peace. Everybody wants peace, but the only peace that there ever could be. Look, even Jesus said this. Look, the world seeks peace. And Paul wrote, the church will say, peace and safety. But even Jesus said, the peace that I have, it's not of the world. Peace. The only peace there is one new man, a harmony in Christ. Are you with me? Okay, let's see. Where else do I want to go?
Turn with me to, let's see. I got my notes here. Ephesians 4. Well, we're in Ephesians, then we'll go to Colossians. Ephesians 4. I want to read all this, so let's read all this while we're here. Verse 11, we might as well start there. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints, right? Let us go on to what? Perfection. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember, one of the problems that we've had in modern day Christianity is we think that gaining a position or a title is the work of the ministry. Look, if you're a mom and a daddy and you only have children and you go to work and that's all you ever do, if the only goal you'll ever have is to raise your children in Christ, that they can become a board. Are you with me? Because sometimes you might get captured and you'll have to be a little maid in a place you never desired to be, but you're able to exhibit what mama and daddy taught you. The instructions of a mother and a father. Amen? Watch. Verse 13 is the verse I was looking for. Right? We all come in the unity of the faith. There's the oneness, right? Them boards being one. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Every man a being. You have to be a being in order to be in a structure. One being doesn't make the whole house. Are you with me? Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the watch, fullness of Christ. Listen to me. Even though I and you understand the individual aspects of what we need to have God in our lives, look, we could never, I can never, you can never, no one can ever come to fullness without one another. Impossible! Because in the vision, in the purpose, it's not about individuals, it's about a whole wall of boards being tied together. Are you with me? Well, wait a minute. I have my own personality and God wants to work through it. Not if you're not measuring up to what He desired. Personalities can be shaped very easily. Circumstances, feelings, all kinds of stuff. Are you with me? Verse 14. Why? Why? That we henceforth be no more children. Oh, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. But He doesn't want us to be children. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every what? Wind of doctrine. Anybody selling anything. The gullible, the naive, the immature. Children. Children will believe just about anything. Right? Are you with me? By the sleight of men, we all know that they're out there, right? And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. They're hunters, not fishers. They're hunters. They lie in wait to deceive. But look, this is what we must do as a perfect man. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. We have to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right? Here's another verse. Are you ready? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. I find most people are takers.
Watch, it's never about the money and how much you might save. It's all about what you're willing to do. This is what God does. Are you with me? Because what he's really after, watch, is a surrendered life so that they can fit right where he puts them in the whole body. What happens to a cell that gets out of whack in an individual body, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be cancer. There's other issues. We put a lot of emphasis on cancer, but really still the number one disease in America for both men and women is what? Heart disease. I wonder if it's telling us anything. Just saying. And I don't even think it's close. Are you with me? From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Watch this. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, this is what we must understand. God sets us somewhere and he gives us a measure. I got everything. No, I don't. I only have... See, the one thing that we need to learn to do, Steve, is not go beyond the boundaries of what God has given us to do. It's when we let men and women tell us we can do everything because we're supermen. It's just religion, and it's under the sun. Are you all right? Here we go. The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh, watch, I love this, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying in love. Okay, now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to point this out. I know I said this, but let's just read. I'm just reading Bible. Now, just in case you, I took an Old Testament verse, every man a being. I showed you a picture in Moses' boards, Old Testament. I showed you, we didn't go there, but I showed you Solomon's temple, same thing, right? Same principle, same mindset, same idea, same purpose, same function, right? And then I took you to Ephesians, where we now are getting the understanding and the revelation of what God's really after. He's not after individuals, he's after a body. If we wanted to go back to the Old Testament, we could go back to Joshua's army, right? Where they all marched around in unison and not one person complained and said, I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like it today. He said, every man get ready. Now, I don't know this for sure. But I often do wonder how many didn't get ready. Because not even everybody came out of Egypt. Do you remember when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls and the temple and all that? Do you realize what was going on there? There were Jews there. Remember, they were taking bribes and they were living high on the hog. And these were born again folks. Just, we must understand what God's after. He's after a body that, look, when he calls you for a purpose, you have to fit in that place. Who told you to do that? Nobody. Well, why do you want? I want to. Did you ask God? I always say this. The one cool thing, this is just me, is I'm so glad God called me to do this the way he did, because I wouldn't have done it. For me, most part, can I say this? Most of the time, people are just pain. But that's just me. But God knew there was a way he would change me to be able to fit in, take my position as a board. Because when God gets done, there are no positions. I've said this from the day I started. If I do my job correctly,
I put myself out of a job. Because when he's all done, I'm just a tool to become a shaped board just like everybody else. Are you with me? That's cool. And he had to send four prophets to tell me. I'd rather work and make money. Just saying. Are you all right? Now, here we are. 1 Corinthians. Verse 1. I'm going to read fast. I'm going to keep you here until like 12:30, 1 o'clock today. Is all right? Madison's eyes looked up. Oh, no! Are you with me? Here we go. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That's pretty tough. But unto you as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you milk and not with meat. For hitherto were not able to bear it, neither ye yet now are you. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, he's given them the litmus test, isn't he? Look, if you're still arguing amongst yourselves, if you still have problems with one another, guess what? You're just carnal men. You're no different. Oh, you're a babe in Christ. You're in Christ. See, that doesn't diminish any of that. But you have issues. And you're not growing up. See, the whole goal is fitly framing us together to what? Grow up into the head, even Christ. That's his whole point. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love him? He has got the perfect plan. Now watch this. For while one says, I'm of Paul, I like that preacher better. And another, I am of Apollos, oh, I like that preacher better. Aren't you carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? They're just ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Or in other words, he makes the body grow. So then, neither is he that plants. God, the church leaders need to get a hold of this. Just because you're a leader or a planter, you're not anything. You ever wonder why the last 15 years we had so much affirmation trying to tell everybody who they are? It wasn't because they didn't know or didn't want to know. It was all about how great I am. Here we go. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Verse 8, this is my verse. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. They're the same. This is the whole point. God's after oneness, isn't he? They're one. And every man shall receive his reward according to his labor. All them boards had to do was stand at attention. In the feet of silver. All right. You okay? All right. Hang on here now. Let's see. I'm just going to read some verses and you can just listen, okay? All right. Job 10, verses 10 and 11. Hast thou not poured me out as milk? Now, I want you to think of this as the Christ saying this, not you as an individual. Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou, watch this, has clothed me with skin and flesh and has fenced me with bones and sinews. God, it's the whole structure of a corporate man. Seriously, like when I read these two verses here, it reminds me of Ezekiel 37. And hey, Ezekiel, what do you see? Dead bones. There's a whole structure there. And he prophesied to him, and what did the bones do? They came together. But there was still an issue, wasn't there? What was the issue? They didn't have any life in them. It looked like a body of people, but there was no life. And he had to prophesy again. Amen? All right. Now, here's the famous Psalms verses that we all like to quote, but I want you to look at it from the position of the Christ. Ready? Psalms 139, verses 15 and 16. Here we go. Ready? My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, listen to this, all my members. Yeah, if I think of it as an individual, and I don't have any problem with that, I think of the individual members. But look, when he's talking about all my members, every man a beam, all my members were written. Are you with me? Which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. In other words, he started this thing and he saw it. Yes. He knew who would and who wouldn't. He sees it. And because it was written, watch this, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Me is not me as an individual. Me is Christ, fitly framed together. Are you with me? I don't know. Every man a beam, right? Every man a beam. Okay, turn with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Dale, why are you going through all these? I like to look at it like this. It gives us an understanding that God doesn't just say it once. He says it over and over and over. And I'm not just looking for verses to validate what I believe. I'm looking to show and teach us, even myself. I reread these things and I hear things differently than I heard many years ago. What I mean by saying differently, I see a deeper sense of a purpose. Look, Gideon's army started out with 32,000. The first group went home. Why? All those who were what? Afraid. What were they afraid of? Trials and tribulations. Testings. I just want the love of Jesus. I only want the beginning. Oh, he loves me so much. Okay, that's cool. Go home. Just go home to your tent. Go home and satisfy yourself in your own religion and your own thoughts. And then he took the last 10,000 and what did he do? He had them drinking all from the same Holy Ghost river. And 9,700 people did it their own way. But then when he got one man, 300, 100-folder, all three dimensions, salvation is progressive, outer, inner, most holy, spirit, soul, body, right? When he got 300, and there were really 301, because there was a main bar right down through the middle. And not one of them complained when the 200 went one way and the 100 went with him. Because they were perfect, mature, complete, understood. They had a place. Are you with me? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God, I would like to read the whole chapter, but I don't. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Look at this. So also is Christ. Just like them boards. Like every man in a beam. Christ is a many-membered body. Look, Jesus, who are you? He's the Christ, the anointed one. But if we are in him, it's a many-membered body. Look at Jesus. Unless a kernel of wheat or a seed falls in the ground and dies, it abides, or in other words, alone. It's the only one. But if it dies, it will bring forth, hello, fruit. Fruit. Much fruit.
You know what the people have never got? You'll do abundantly above, right? Much more than I. Greater works. The greater work is not more miracles. The greater work is a people. Now I'll just throw this in. Yes, they will be able to function just like him. Until, watch. Everything that offends in the kingdom is what? The Bible says, rooted out. Yeah, that's the whole point. And look, God's purpose is to bring calamity on the wicked. And we find out in the Bible, it happens one of two ways. It's either day where they get enlightened and change, or it's night and... Like, even, look, when Jesus showed up, not everybody turned his way. Even after the Holy Ghost fell on them in Acts chapter 2, and the 120, well, we know Peter and the group came out, right? Some turned, didn't they? What shall we do? Get baptized. Repent. Baptized. But then it says others turned away. It's heartbreaking. God takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner. That's what it says. Here we go, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Remember, we've already dealt with this. Whether we be bond or free, we've dealt with that. And have been all made to drink into what? One Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it's what? Many, 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 right? Look, if I use this term, right, for a school, I've done this many times. Student body, how many people? Depends on the size of the school, right? But I didn't use any words of plurality, did I? Look, the anointed, what's it mean? The anointed one, right? It really means to be smeared on. That's all God wants to do, smear on, doesn't he? Christ. See, we don't really get this, right? We understand it. When Jesus said, there shall arise false Christ. Hello, Christ. You're either real or you're not. People who are called by my name. What's his name? Christ. That's his nature. We've not really learned this concept, and we've done everything we can, and I know I'm going to maybe get labeled, but here we go, watch. The whole reason a woman, church, takes the name of the husband, not hyphenated, not dual, keeps the same, is because it's our job to lose our identity in Christ. It's just a picture for the reality of what God's doing in a people. We understand individual. If I said the Kennedys, we would think of individuals, but there is a Kennedy family. You get my point? The Rockefellers, it's the same. The Christ. How cool is that? It's been his desire from the beginning. This is the reason he created man. All right, 15, I gotta get moving, I'll never get done. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. I'm reading all this because look, you have to fit where he called you to, okay? We don't have choices. We do, but we don't, all right? You'll get that. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now wouldn't that be torturous? If you could smell something really good, oh my God, that smells so good, but you could never eat it? Because you didn't have a mouth and everything was smelling? Just saying. All right, here we go. I know it's extreme, but here we go. But now hath God set, I like this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has what? Pleased him.
Remember those that were apostles and they were not? And he called them what? Liars. Not every preacher that's a preacher was called of God. Just saying. Here we go. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Look, even the head, Jesus, isn't going to say to the feet, look, I don't need you. He knows he needs us. We are his hands. We are his eyes, his ears. Are you with me? This is more to it than that. All right, are you with me? And I'd say the feet I have no need in. 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, I always talk about this, are necessary. I'm sure my heart pumping with my chest open wouldn't look pretty, right? But my beautiful face, you know, I get to look at it. Are you with me? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those bestow more abundant honor, and on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked the comeliness or the beauty, right? That there should be no what? Schisms or divisions. Because what happens when our body starts fighting amongst itself? Remember when they said to Jesus, he casts out devils by Beelzebub. He says, no, I don't. He says, don't you understand that a house divided cannot what? Stand. That's why people leave churches. Oh, I can just go over to another part of the body. Really? So the cancer just moves from one part to another. It metastasizes because we think it won't affect, watch this, the spiritual realm. Because I have found that usually I can change positions, but it doesn't always change my attitude. But I also have found that if I stay put and have God deal with my attitude, my position changes. Are you with me? And you don't always learn it overnight. Sometimes it might take years, or watch this, a lifetime. We might as well learn it sooner the better, right? Just surrender. That nothing lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Let me smash your pinky. The whole body feels it, doesn't it? Yeah. And one member honored, God, if we could only learn this one, all the members rejoice with it instead of being jealous, right? God, he makes so much money. I like to give a lot of it away, too. Aren't you saving for retirement? My retirement's in him. Are you with me? Because watch, when you can save a lot of money, and when you die, what are you going to do? Give it to the people that never worked for it. Just saying. Well, I don't plan on dying. Well, neither do I. But I've seen a lot of things that I didn't plan on happening happen until we all what? Come into the unity. All right. I hope you think I'm nice today. Because you don't always think I'm nice. Here we go. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Should be rejoicing, right? And members in particular. Oh, should I read the next one? Yeah. And God has set some in the church, First apostles. Look at the order. Second prophets. Third teachers. And after that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. Is everybody an apostle? Is everybody a prophet? Are they all teachers? Are they all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What do you think the answer is? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. All right. Are you okay? I think I have one more verse, and then I'm going to stop. Let's see. Maybe two verses. Colossians 2. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which has not seen, he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's where a lot of people live, unfortunately. And listen to this. This is why. Not holding the head. He has to be the center. You have to hold him up. He has to be the number one. Look, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. My mere words are not good enough. Look, the Corinthian church didn't think that they had a problem. Now, we could talk about the man that was married to his father's wife, issue, and everybody thought it was okay. Don't judge me, right? Are you with me? But look, they couldn't even get along. And he said, look, aren't you Christians? You're supposed to what? All get along. Because if you don't, you're just walking as what? Mere carnal men, right? You're no different, okay? And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands. This is the part that I really hope you're getting the emphasis. The whole point of the body is to do what? Joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together. Increase with the increase of God. The whole point of a body is so it will grow up. Every man a being, you have a place. God called you. Right? Seriously, I could go around the room and say something to each one of you. But look, did you ever think you were going to be here at one point? I guarantee, probably not. And then if God had put you here from the beginning and told you, hey, prophet, hey, elder, senator, he also called you to position because the body waits for it. You know what one of the worst positions for people in the church is? To be a help. A support. To those that God has called for position. And the reason is because of the spirit of the day and the spirit of the hour, which, by the way, has always existed. Watch, how do you know that? Everybody's waiting for the Antichrist to show up, but yet John said it's already here. What is the Antichrist? Anything that's instead of what God had purposed from the beginning. And one thing that God has purposed, the one thing, the only thing, is a body. A many-membered body that does what? It nourishes and feeds until it grows up into the head, even Christ. Every man a beam, every man a board, every man a stone. I'm going to spend Wednesday, I thought I'd get to it today, every man a penny. Because really the truth of the matter is, and this is the part that people struggle with, people want to get to the end where we're all equal before going through the process or the quarry to get us in the position where we can all be set together. Fitly framed together. Why? Then we will look like, God, can I say it? Christ. Look, Do you know why God wants a first fruit company? You don't get it, but when they wave the first fruit, God wants to take, I'll just use it like this, a handful of people and wave it before the creation and say, look, this is what I'm after. A body. And I believe, just like in Gideon's army, after the 300 broke the pitchers, blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, began to chase the army, then they allowed the rest. The wilderness folks who refuse to be shaped now, who now have been shaped because God prepared. God's cool. He's cool. I'm good with them. All right, let's go. Let's stand. Can you see what he's after? I know I diverted way off from the lives of Elisha, but I feel as a teacher, you know, you need to know, if I put a bunch of numbers together, if I make a string of numbers, if I'm thinking of algebra, does it matter where the braces, the pluses, the sign, all the signs, does it matter to get the answer? It does, doesn't it? It really does. That's all I was trying to do. Father, we love you. We thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. God, in spite of me, God, that we may all hear your voice and hear your word. And God, not just hear, but obey it. It's easy to agree with it. It's a different story to actually live it. You give us opportunity every day, moment by moment. Hallelujah. So God, take the word, multiply it, strengthen us, encourage us. As we, Father, grow up into you. Hallelujah. May your spirit, the defining moment of our life, come alive, awaken us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.